Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, the Hyundai Santa Fe was recently crowned in the 2025 Women's Worldwide Car of the Year. What is a woman's car? And our car is still marketed according to gender. Joining me now is Dave Humphreys, motoring journalist with CompleteCar.ie. Dave, how are you today?
I'm good, Tom. Thanks for having us in.
Have I put too much of a spin on that? This kind of won the Women's Worldwide Car of the Year, which is a panel of female journalists.
Correct,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's not really a car aimed at women, is it?
I don't think cars these days are necessarily aimed at anyone, particularly at men or at women. I think it does vary where in the world you are as well in terms of how certain cars are marketed. But actually, there's also different perceptions about cars. You know, like when we talk to people, we kind of hear like, oh, that's a bit of a girl's car, or that's a bit of a guy's car, or even certain brands. But actually, when you go and drill down into the sort of data on this, it's more of an anecdotal thing rather than, you know, it, you know, cars being overtly advertised towards one particular gender. Now, there are a few exceptions to this. For example, the Fiat 500 is a very small, compact city car, hugely successful for the car brand. And the perception is generally it's more popular with women than with men. So much so that Fiat have actually advertised the bigger version of it, the 600, as the big sister to the 500. So they're kind of leaning into it a little bit.
I think the 500 is a little beauty of a car.
I think it is. And the interesting thing is when you look at, you know, people think small cars are generally more for women. But the thing is, that's very much depending on where you are. If you go to Milan or Paris, you know, you'll see people need small cars because it's a huge city. Parking is at an absolute premium. Nobody wants a big car in these sort of cities. And there's not the same kind of connotation that, oh, you've got a small car, you know, can you not afford a bigger car, which is something we see in some countries, including here, whereas in Paris or Milan, it's perfectly normal for a businessman to step out of a super compact little smart car or a Fiat 500 or
How
something like that.
How can we move in the direction of our European neighbours is what I want to know.
It's something we should do.
That seems completely cool to me. I feel a good-looking Italian man, comfortable in his own sexuality, whatever, getting out of it, you know.
Exactly, yeah. This is it. It's stylish, it's practical. Yeah. It shows that this guy is clever. He's got his head screwed on.
How is that,
you know,
a girl's car?
And I did reach out and ask a few car brands about this. I said, you know, do you advertise or do you target marketing at certain, at guys or girls? And actually, in fact, they said, no, generally it's more at an age demographic rather than any one particular gender. Now, the funny thing is when you also talk to, you know, especially with car retailers in particular, they'll often say, even whoever's buying the car often, in a lot of cases, the female is in charge of the household budget, and really they're kind of the decision makers it comes down to. But I think it does vary. We see it with, typically, you know, you can go and stand on the street and see what type of people are driving what type of cars. And yes, there is certain swings in demographic, but I don't think any one car brand is designing a car with men or women in mind. Now, what I would say is spending time with a lot of car designers, there's a huge amount of female car designers, and they do fight a lot against trying to change certain things and to try and, you know, make things more accessible for everybody. There are certain things that maybe, you know, guys might not think about that maybe women do think about that they would like or would rather have. But it's not any one particular thing, but there's definitely a perception out there.
And is there a bit of that certain types of people, certain types of men maybe will go for certain types of cars? Just kind of
I think there is.
The rugged man.
I don't think it's necessarily a brand or a model thing, but I'm sure if you go on, if you stood on the street and watched most big pickup trucks going by, there's probably a higher percentage of men driving them than women. Now, what's the reason for that? Well, it could be a business decision. It could be somebody that works in a particular trade. It could be somebody that feels like they have to have a big vehicle to stand out in the company car park.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff like that that maybe women are not so sensitive to this kind of thing.
They're above it.
They're above it. And they're a bit more, you know, they just get the right thing rather than...
So this award is put together by, it's something like 91, is it 91 of the women of the world's leading female motor journalists?
Yes, female journalists from all over the world. It's not just in Europe.
Where did it come? What was the idea behind it?
Well, I can't speak for them exactly, but I think they just wanted to, I guess, there has been, especially in the motoring landscape, it is changing now, but there's been a much more of a male-dominated industry. And
sure.
It's good to see now many more females coming in to balance that up.
Yeah.
And we see it not only in journalism, although I think in journalism there's still a long way to go to have more of an equal sort of footing there. But we certainly see it in other forms of the industry in terms of, you know, communications, marketing, senior management as well. You
sure.
know, like an actual fact, the CEO of a company called INEOS, which makes this big, very rugged, overt off-roader, is a woman as well. So, like, it's great to see more females coming in.
Are there more of them in design? That would interest.
In terms of overall design, in my experience, I see more males in the car design, but then
sure.
on the interior, colors and trims and fabrics and things like that, and interior design, there's a bit more women, but that's changing all the time, and it's very much... You know, all of the car companies that I come across, they're all working towards having much more of an
sure.
equal balance.
Good.
There.
So you get 82 motor journalists, from around 55 countries. And how does it work after that?
Well, typically, I mean, I'm on one of these, a similar type of jury, which is called Autobest, and we represent all the countries in Europe. And typically, these journalists, what they'll often do when they have these sort of organizations and these awards is they'll put together a short list. They normally have different categories. So it might be like best SUV, best city car, whatever. And they'll have a short list and they'll pool all that shortlist together, and then typically through their own experience of driving the cars, they will then have a voting system where they will vote and probably award a certain amount of votes based on design, how a car handles, the practicality, the value for money, all these kind of typical factors that are important to consumers. You know, this
sure.
isn't just a pure, generally this isn't just like an emotional award
sure, it's
that
not
we're
a big
giving
subjective
out.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, there's yeah. All, you know, and all of the sort of leading sort of juries that are out there, there's quite a few of them, and you know, but we publish the results, you can see exactly how the members are voting, that kind of thing, so
sure.
so you can see, like, and you know, these are, you're dealing with a big pool of journalists, you know, they've got their reputations, they want to do the right thing, and they're putting out their opinion on what it is.
They went for six categories. The best urban car, they went for the Mini Cooper, beautiful car. The compact SUV, the Kia EV3. The large car, the Audi A6 e-tron. The large SUV, the Hyundai Santa Fe. The 4x4, the Toyota Land Cruiser, and performance car, Porsche Panamera. But from that then, they went for the Hyundai Santa Fe. What was so great about it?
Well, I mean, I've driven the Santa Fe myself.
Big car.
It is a big car, absolutely. But the important thing with this particular award as well is you're dealing with jury members from all over the world. So I imagine, you know, they probably have a number of American jurors and other countries, where a Santa Fe in the US isn't as big a car, you know, in terms of what it is in Europe. But yeah, it is a big car. Personally speaking, having driven it, I've driven the plug-in hybrid version. It works quite well. It's got a lot of equipment. It's very safe. It's got a lot of the practical features that families in particular that like or want SUVs, it has those sort of things in it. The design is quite interesting as well.
You don't sound as wildly enthusiastic as some of these judges that I'm hearing here. You know, I was hit by a transport truck while driving the Santa Fe in Italy. It remained impressively stable. It didn't roll over. Damage was minimal.
That's a pretty serious test, but yeah, we try not to get involved in accidents when we're testing the cars, but these things do happen. But thankfully these days, most cars are quite safe.
You seem to be kind of leaning in it. It's a beautifully functional car.
I think these days, I mean, when I'm assessing a car, you know, I'm a big fan of design, but I also try and look at it from a practical standpoint. Also, value for money is a very important thing. And these days, cars are getting more and more expensive all the time.
Sure.
A lot of that is based on safety equipment, which is now being mandated. So, you know, the EU, for example, is saying you've got to have X, Y, and Z in terms of safety systems as standard. That drives up the cost. And, you know, car makers have to pass that on
sure.
to the consumer as well. So that is also driving up the cost of cars. We would love to see more smaller cars and more affordable small cars coming to the market. We're starting to see that now, especially with electric cars. You know, initially 4, 5, 6 years ago, electric cars were all very, very expensive.
Yeah.
Now we're getting like that usual curve with technology. As it goes on, it starts to get more affordable.
But it's not just a technology curve. It's a bit of a trade war too, isn't it?
It's
the Tesla versus the BYD.
Yeah, I mean, Tesla's still actually doing pretty well, you know, despite what you see in the media. Mm. They are still selling cars. They are still popular. But the thing is, they also have a lot more competition now than they had. And the good, I think the good thing for consumers now is they really have a lot more choice than they had 5 or 6 years ago.
Sure, but your favourite, if you were picking a car, you'd pick a 65-year-old Citroen, wouldn't you?
Well, I'd be a little bit biased, but yeah, I have a 65-year-old 2CV and I love that very much.
Are they a bit more romantic, those old cars? Smell of petrol and sit in.
Until you're stuck at the side of the road.
Yeah, as long as you have to drive it anywhere.
Exactly.
Or it goes pear-shaped. Well, very good. So it's not quite a woman's car, but there is that input to it, no question about it.
Yeah.
Very good. Dave, thanks very much for that. Dave Humphreys, motoring journalist for CompleteCar.ie.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.